Shut up about the sun. Shut up about the sun.
Hey, we're recording the podcast. Shut up.
Good morning to you, wherever you are, because it is Over Somewhere for April 10th, 2024. My name is Bernie Burns. With me, sitting right over there, she will not shut up about the sun. Say hi to Ashley. Hi, Ashley. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Doing good. Enjoying my morning. Enjoying the sun.
I think I'm out of a job.
Dude, you're out of a job. I don't think you get to do the intro anymore.
I think we have to find a compromise here. Yesterday, our four-year-old son, Finn, did the intro to the show, and I've been replaced.
Look, I'm not going to say he knocked it out of the park, but I think he knocked it out of the park. I'm biased.
I think we're biased, but I have to say, because I sat down and recorded with him, and he was great. He was great. I left in the cute flub of not knowing the date or whatever, but left it in. I think what I'll have to do is maybe I'll bring him back like as the end of it, the Berka. He can do that part of it.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, we do want to say thank you to every person who has gone to look at the Patreon. Thank you so much for your support. Yesterday was a great day getting started. Gives us, a clearer path to the future, right, Ash?
Of what we're going to be doing. Absolutely, it does, yes.
We just want to say we really appreciate everyone's support for going to
Patreon.com/morningsomewhere.
But thank you to everyone who went. If you're not sure what that is, we started a Patreon yesterday. And you can go to Patreon.com/morningsomewhere and see all the different benefits for the different tiers of membership. And you can see, this is important, we have a limited time offering that if you sign up by the end of Friday and you stay subscribed to the end of May, we will send you a lovely coin. There may be shipping charges that apply. We're working that out as we go.
Yeah. Co-Founders Club limited edition challenge coin. We'll never make it again.
Never, ever, ever.
And we shared on the Patreon, we shared a proof of the front side. We should have a proof of the back side tomorrow. We're really trying to make sure that we get it right.
The essence of mush.
We have to capture his real true spirit in there.
How do you capture that in collectible form? How do you do that?
But we'll work at it. And thank you for everyone who's visited. It's been a lot of fun. We launched a Discord as part of it and have been getting that up and going, and that's been fun as well.
I would say right now we're at the level, Ash, where I feel like we can be, if we end up doing ads, we can be very selective about the ads we do, which doesn't always work with those ad networks. They kind of want you to do everything and anything. Yeah. But I think we're in a position now where we can be a lot more selective.
We sure are.
Makes me happy.
And we don't need any ads at all today because
we want to thank Derek S. and Kevin P. from the Patreon for making this episode of Morning Somewhere ad-free for the rest of our listeners.
Thank you, guys.
I say that after a giant ad for our Patreon. It'll calm down, guys. I promise.
We'll get back to normal.
All right. Big news today. Drop today was Shut Up About the Sun. That's just because there's no other time I'm going to be able to use that drop. I have been loving all the pictures of people's eclipse stuff. And it's like it has, though, petered out really quickly. Austin, our friends in Austin, they've already pivoted from look at this incredible celestial event to the weather sucks. There was a big hailstorm last night in Austin.
Was there?
Yeah, giant one. Like, people were showing like pieces of like 4-inch hail. I don't know what's going on, dude. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know. I know what hail is, theoretically, right? So I guess it falls out of the cloud and it's water, but it freezes before it gets to the ground and becomes a little ball of
ice. You might freeze up there.
How can they be that big, though?
It's a good question.
I don't understand the physics of how hail can physically get that big.
Well, space is cold. So it must get up there. It must be the wind. See, like, there's enough wind to keep everything up, right? And then it must freeze up there. There's some meteorologist listening to this, like, panicking. Flop sweat right now hard. I think, here's my layman opinion, that the wind, it buffers it and keeps it up there, and then it freezes up in the clouds. And then it gets to a point where it's big enough and it falls. And then as it re-enters the atmosphere, it loses some ice weight. It loses ice weight from air friction, and then, you know, it's even smaller. So up there, it's probably the size of a bowling ball.
And then it aims straight for your car.
All right. I do want to talk about, before we get too far away from it, I want to talk about the Joker trailer, if we can.
Yes, we absolutely can. So I have not seen the first Joker movie, but I watched the Joker 2 trailer. Love Lady Gaga. I will. Anything she's about, I'm about.
Did you watch the movie she was in with Bradley Cooper?
No.
People got really weird about that.
So I guess I'm just in some of this, like in some of the stuff that she's in, I'm all about. But this looked, I thought it looked awesome.
I think it looks great. I want to go on record here saying I don't have the best history with predicting how comic book movies are going to be received. I acknowledge that. I think I got Iron Man right, and after that, all wrong. But my biggest miss was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah. I remember we both thought that, though. We saw the trailer, and we're like, okay. There's the Green Lady, the furry guy.
The tree.
The tree. Of course, there's the tree. And Chris Pratt. Okay, this is going to be great.
Well, I remember the comic.
It came out amazing.
It came out amazing, and I would argue it was a pivot point. Like, it's the fulcrum for the MCU.
Switching from a more serious tone into a more comedic tone, would you say?
And I would say a lot of people, I think, give Thor Ragnarok credit for that, but it was really, I think, Guardians that paved the way for it. Which makes me wonder, what is the DCU going to be? Is it DCCU? DCU?
I don't know.
Anyway, the DC Cinematic Universe, of which Joker is not a part, I don't think.
No, it's in like, I don't know, parallel Batman.
They
got to
clean up their act over there.
I don't know. I'm fine with it being its own thing because this looks cool. And this is the kind of movie that I don't think you would get in just the general DC universe, but it's a musical, I think.
I think it's great. I love it. I think it's a wild choice. I like when people take risks. I like that they're doing it.
Yeah, it seems like it's also going to be a lot of fun to watch, regardless of the story, which still seems intriguing, but also just like the cinematography and like the visual stunts that they pull with it. It seems, based on the trailer, it seems very promising.
And there's a lot of conjecture, as there always is with every single trailer that comes out. All I can say is that it's beautifully shot, and I think the music is a great angle because, would you say you didn't see Joker, Ashley? You're a female, right? We live in a society.
You know, we're living in a society.
Is there a reason why you did not watch Joker?
I kind of just didn't get to it. And then there was so much like discussion around it that...
Were you turned off by the audience?
Put me off a little bit.
Okay. I don't want to lead the witness here. But.
And so it never quite just got to the top of my must watch list.
Okay.
And I'm already, like, everything, my to-read list, to-watch list, to-playlist, they're all falling so far behind of priority things anyway that if you're not fighting your way to the top of the list, I'm going to miss you. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. Now that you've seen the trailer for Joker 2, was it Folie au Deux?
Folie au Deux.
Yeah, which is a clinical term. I looked it up. It means, like, a delusion that affects two people in particular.
Fair enough.
But... let me ask you this, now that you've seen the trailer for it, do you feel like you want to go back and watch Joker before it comes out?
I probably should.
Well, there you go. And for people who like think this is weird, you know, to have a musical, it's an interesting thing. It brings in new people and it's going to want them to go see now the original one. The first one, the original doesn't apply to Joker anymore, but the first one and before the second one comes out. So I think that's a good thing if you're a fan of the franchise.
But one of the things that... I remember you mentioned when you sat me down to watch this this Joker 2 trailer.
That makes it sound like I had my hands on your shoulders going, watch this.
Don't look away. you were saying that the music seemed really important to the story that they're telling.
There was an opening quote in it where, I don't know who's saying it, but someone talks about how you use music is fundamental to life and you use it to repair the fractures in your life. And it just reminded me of the very first introduction of the iPod by Steve Jobs. And I've talked about this on podcasts before, but it's one of the, to me, a fascinating moment in the world of business because we all know what Apple turned into, right?
We know what it's become.
Have you heard the rumors that Apple might try to buy Disney?
That would be interesting.
That'd be wild.
I mean, they're one of the only companies in the world that could do that, but my understanding was that Disney's not for sale.
Right. But it just like the rumor, even if that was like on the table as a possibility, that's crazy to show how big Apple is as a company. And Apple is famous for having just boatloads of cash.
I mean, at some point, what do you do with it all, right?
Gotta do something.
You just gotta put it on a boat.
But why don't you buy yourself a Disney? You deserve it.
You know what? treat yourself.
But you go back in the 90s, Apple was a dog. I mean, it was like, I think at one point Microsoft had to invest in them so that Microsoft wouldn't seem like a monopoly.
Bernie, how dare you? They came in grape.
They had their iMacs that were looked like, gosh, you go back and look at that now. Who would buy a computer like that?
But you know what, though? To some degree, I miss that era of fun technology. Everything now is really sleek, and there's not a lot of fun going on in the consumer tech space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there was a point in time in the 90s where the aesthetic of colorful and clear and see-through.
Colorful, clear. Oh, my God.
It was a big deal.
The green, transparent Nintendo 64 with Donkey Kong. That was like, that was a jam.
And then guys would try to go, they didn't want to be too colorful, you know? They didn't want to walk that line. So they would get the black
see-through,
which is just looks dirty. it just looks like you have this murky thing. But yeah, Apple was a dog. And in 2001, I think it is, we'll put a link to
2001 is when they introduced it.
But I was reminded of this because he's talking about how important the iPod is going to be to revolutionize your company because people connect to music. And music is a fundamental, important part of all of our lives. And everyone's like, okay. But he was right. They put out that iPod. It completely changed their company. Completely changed it. And has evolved. You know, now we have the iPhone. It's not the iPod. And I guess the iPod still exists. Nobody really buys them, I don't think.
Does it? Wow, that's kind of impressive, actually.
I think they still like making those iPods, those dedicated music players. But your phone just does every single goddamn thing, except for tell you the temperature. But I won't go off. So I'm excited about Joker. I think it'll draw in new people. I thought some of the shots in that are gorgeous. I don't know how you can watch that trailer, watch the last shot in that trailer and not be excited about that movie.
No, I'm stoked. A quick fact check. Apple discontinued the iPod product line on May 10th, 2022.
2022.
Another victim of the pandemic.
Cowards! No respect. I was thinking too about Curb Your Enthusiasm. Just ended. It's just ended its final episode.
Of
its final. Yeah. How long was that run? Do you know?
It's 12. It was 12 series. But did they skipped a couple years? Didn't
12
they?
Seasons? If you're keeping score in America. Yeah.
Yes. But how far was it spread across?
24 years.
What? Wait. They did an average of a season every 2 years.
Ah, man. It's HBO. They can get away with that.
Yeah,
if they
I guess
want
that's
to.
True.
Curb Your Enthusiasm. Let's see when this thing came up. Curb Your Enthusiasm debuted in the year 2000, October 15th, 2000.
It's important to note, though, that they had a six-year break. So it they concluded in 2011 and then picked up again 6 years later.
You sound like me talking about Homestar Runner whenever the longevity of Reverse comes up. It's like people are like, well, you know, Homestar Runner's been around long. It's like, they stopped for like 8 years.
Still counts. Still counts.
It is crazy for me to think about, though, because I think of Red versus Blue as being this incredibly old production. 21 years it will have been going. When Restoration comes out in early May, check it out on Max. Is it on Max? I don't know where it is, actually.
Max, and I should know these things before I promote it. I know that they're going to sell it on like Prime and that kind of thing. So.
To be fair, they've changed it on me like 18 times at this point. It was going to come out like last fall. This podcast was part of that. Remember, we were getting this podcast ready to go because we'll
be able to talk about Red versus Blue and promote that. And how fun will that be?
We wanted something to have something to follow up after Red versus Blue. So we had the podcast ready to go. We were finally like, fuck it. Let's just put this podcast out. It'll be available for home video purchase, on May 7th. May 7th. 7th of May, if you're not in America. 7th of May. I'm excited. I think I'm going to go see Civil War tomorrow.
That's exciting.
At a late night screening.
Ooh, get in the mood with the dark.
What's that?
Get in the mood with the dark. I feel like this is going to be one of those films that you don't come out of happy.
Yeah, I will be introspective, I think.
Yeah, so it's like the dark will like keep you company afterwards. You know who else I think we might be able to sell Disney to if we really want to?
Who's that?
Someone in Portland, Oregon. You know why? The Powerball.
Oh,
has
right.
Has been won.
Powerball. Was it one person that won it?
It was one ticket. A Powerball player in Portland, Oregon won the jackpot worth more than $1.3 billion. A single ticket.
Portland, Oregon. That buys a lot of hacky sacks and unicycles. Those little sticks that you juggle with back and forth. You can buy a lot of those.
Single-handedly bring the iPod back.
Or it's like one cup of artisanal coffee. You know, I see these videos all the time. They show up on my Instagram reel of people who go all out making a cup of coffee. I'm talking like they have the like this wire like stick with like protrusions on it that they stir the coffee inside of it, then they tamp it down, they put a filter on it.
And they have
it.
Like different tampers for different types of coffee. Oh, they have a screw on,
like it's like a precision instrument, like within tolerances, and they go click and they get everything right and they pour the cup of coffee and it's like, okay, I want to try that cup of coffee. How do I don't want to buy $3,500 worth of coffee equipment in order to make this and spend apparently what looks like half an afternoon to make a tiny shot of espresso. Just show me a place where I can try it, you know? And everyone's like, oh, that'll make the best cup of coffee you've ever had in your life. It's like, I feel like if that was the case, there would be some coffee shop that sells you $50 cups of coffee. That
specializes in $50 coffees.
And I would try a $50 cup of coffee once, you know, if like this is going to be the greatest coffee of my life. I'm not going to buy an $800 strawberry, but I'll buy a $50 cup of coffee once in my life, for God's sake.
I don't know what happens, Bernie, if it ruins you. The same as that $800 strawberry. What if you can never go back? Can I give you a hot take?
I just think if that was a thing, that would be an amazing cup of coffee, and everyone would say this is the quintessential cup of coffee. You got to try it, and I would try it. It would be like, that's incredible.
Here's the thing, though. It's always espresso, and I realize that purists enjoy espresso a great deal, but for me, it's just a bit strong.
Oh, really? To me, it's holding that cup where you can only get like one finger on it. That's it. You got to do like all the other fingers hanging off. It's like having a colorful iMac. It's walking that same line.
Does it come in sunset?
It makes me feel like a giant sitting there holding it.
What were the other colors of Mac? I know they had purple.
Violet, yeah.
And there was teal, but they all had like fun names, right? Like grape. The only one I know. Is that one? Why is that one the one that stuck?
Do you want to know something strange? I feel weirdly connected to that point in time and that culture because the very first viral video we ever had was I recorded this thing with Gus where I had him talk about being a gamer on the Mac, and it was a parody of the old Apple Switch ads. Do you remember the one with the girl who was stoned? Like, she's clearly stoned in an Apple ad. Like,
no.
One that went on TV.
Really?
Oh, she became, like, the darling of the internet for a couple of months. Her name was Ellen Feiss. Look that up. If I remember that.
I don't know how I've missed this.
Look this up. Yeah, she was literally stoned in an Apple commercial. I shouldn't say literally. I think they even said she had eye drops or something, or allergies. They gave a rationale for it later. But everyone accepted the fact that this girl was baked while advertising Apple products.
Oh, yeah. No, I do recognize this girl.
Yeah. We'll put the video. I'm sure somebody has that video. I mean, the way she's talking and everything, it's pretty funny. Yeah. But our first viral hit was a parody of the Apple Switch ads. And then other people put out Apple Switch parodies. One guy was talking about using those colorful iMacs as a boat anchor. I remember in particular. And there was a guy who like had sex with his iMac and stuff. It was weird. Why do we remember all this stuff from so long ago? It's like 25 years ago. But we were very critical of all the other Apple Switch parody ads because we thought we were the best one.
Of course.
It's weird how you get territorial about stuff.
It was fun though.
What, in that period of time?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember seeing that video. I would have been working at Ubisoft at the time, and it would have just come up at work and got passed around. That's how everything was done, you know, at the time. Is like someone gets it and then shows everyone else because, you know, downloading stuff was a pain in the butt.
Well, and that was the thing, too, where Matt was working in visual effects out in L.A., and he had a guy that he was managing who had always go by his desk to make sure he was on task because he would always just surf the web and watch random stuff. And he walked in one day, and sure enough, he was watching a video, but it was Gus. And he called me back in Texas, and he goes, this sounds like you're writing. Did you make a video with Gus about Apple Switch ads? And I said, we made that yesterday, like 4 p.m., you know, or 6 p.m. after work. And it got to Matt the next morning before I even called him to tell him, hey, this thing's out there.
That's amazing.
That was like, hey, this could be a thing. You know, we can put video on the internet. It goes wherever we want to because we'd been going to film festivals and all that other stuff. And all the web stuff I'd been doing with my web friends was all blog related, you know, like all typed out stuff. I mean, I don't think they'd ever made a video before in their life, you know? And so it was weird how, like, in that moment, kind of all these different things kind of came together. All right, what else do we want to talk about today?
Let's see. There's been some sad updates about Kit Harington. I mean, he's health-wise, he's fine. I realized as soon as that came out of my mouth.
No, Jon Snow.
Well, he doesn't. So there's he has previously popped up as a cameo at the end of what, Eternals, right? For the like as an entry to the MCU.
Correct.
He got a sword.
Yeah, it's the character is, he's got a sword. The sword has a voice and a personality, and it's like he's the character. He's the Black Knight. I didn't know the Black Knight really had that much lore, honestly. I knew the Black Knight is a member of the Avengers, and he was just a knight. That's
okay.
All.
Okay. Well,
I didn't know there was all this backstory to him.
Well, unfortunately, he's saying that he might not end up in the MCU anyway, because he just says he doesn't know anything about any projects in the works.
He doesn't know anything?
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I saw a sad update too. It's like Kit Harington's sad update week. He also said that there was a Game of Thrones spinoff series planned for Jon Snow, and now that's not moving forward either.
Yeah, like a sequel series and spinoff. They announced they did the Star Wars thing, right? Remember Star Wars announced like 8,000 spinoffs and then canceled all of them. This seems like Game of Thrones went through a really similar thing where they're like, we're going to make this and we're going to make this and we're going to make this and we've got this idea and it's going to be great. And then most of them didn't end up happening. House of the Dragon ended up happening. It's great. And apparently they're working on the Dunk and Egg, that was a Knight of the Seven Kingdoms series, and they've actually made some casting announcements about that. But everything else just off in the breeze.
To be fair, House of the Dragon was a book that George R.R. Martin wrote, right? Has he written anything else in that Game of Thronoverse?
A cookbook, maybe?
Is that a real thing?
There is a Game of Thrones cookbook. I don't think he wrote it.
So he's written...
I think we have two copies of
The Song of Ice and Fire, right?
Yeah.
And then he wrote House of the Dragon. Uh-huh. Nothing else in there. There's no Cimmerillion, you know, equivalent or anything like that?
I think House of the Dragon is the Silmarillion equivalent.
Okay.
It's more like, it's written more like a history book than a novel, to the point that like, I was like, oh, really? Not a novel? It's a history book? I don't care. I'm not reading it.
I did think in the Battle of the Trident and all these things that you hadn't seen in Game of Thrones that were all the prehistory before like Robert Baratheon took the throne. Those were all fascinating things whenever they would talk about them. I wanted to see those things.
But how much of the fascination is in the imagining?
That's true.
That's the real question. Like once they actually like nail it down on paper or on the screen, is it as cool, or does it then start to devalue the just mythic levels those events have in your imagination because you haven't really seen them? And that in a way is putting you in the same as like all the people in Westeros, right? They hear about these crazy battles and they're legendary, and actually seeing them might make them too human.
And if you compare Star Wars to Game of Thrones, and you're right, Star Wars probably has, I think for any other franchise, has the most amount of titles that were announced that then just don't happen. I can't think of another franchise that has as many announcements as them that just get mothballed at some point. Star Wars essentially started with the present day stuff with 4, 5, 6. Then it had the prequel stuff with 1, 2, 3, and then had the modern sequels, you know, 7, 8, 9. It seems like Game of Thrones did the 7, 8, 9 first. Now they're doing House of Dragon, the 1, 2, 3. And what they're leaving is this like sandwich middle room of all that stuff they talked about.
They're leaving room for 4, 5, 6?
Yeah, they could do their 4, 5, 6 last. Which I think is true. Pretty interesting. Because then you'll be like, people will have like had the introduction to this period, the aftermath of this period, and now they'll get to explore that period. And it could be amazing.
It could be. It falls into a tricky... I feel like if you're trying to do middle stuff, it gets a little bit more difficult to do creative things. Because you know how it starts, you know how it ends, and there's not as much wiggle room to adjust the details. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
Like, it almost might be too predictable because you can't be like, oh, red wedding out of nowhere. You just can't do that because we already know how it has to go.
Yeah.
And if it was a big deal, someone probably would have mentioned it later on.
Right, right, right. But then you could just kill everybody. It's Game of Thrones, and nobody survived from the event.
Fair enough.
So you don't know. And I do want to correct myself about one thing. I said that Game of Thrones, they had already made their 7, 8, 9. Actually, what they made was 7, 8, 8.5. All right. Well, that does it for us today, April 10th, 2024. Hey, if you're interested in supporting our Patreon, thank you very much. Please visit patreon.com/ Morning Somewhere. What was that, Ashley?
It's patreon.com/morningsomewhere.
All right. We will be back to talk to you tomorrow. We hope you'll be here as well.
Bye, everybody.